Well, saints, praise the Lord. Really is so that we need to take care of our personal time with the Lord, right? You can tell if somebody's been with the Lord or not. And your kids can tell if mommy's a little dry, if daddy is a little dry, he's not so nice. He's a little bit shorter when he's dry. So when he goes into his room for 15 minutes every morning, I don't know what happens in there, but he comes out happier. And so I like it when he does that. You know, all of these things are little seeds that our kids watch. Our kids are these amazing technological recorders that record everything all the time. You think Apple and Google is watching you. Your kids are monitoring you all the time and processing the data constantly. Okay, well, we would like to cover quite a few points this morning. And I don't know, some of the points you may have already heard, you may have already heard them in their entirety or in their parts, but I would like to give you as full of a view on these points as I can, because to me, they've been revolutionary. You know, as I mentioned last night, I've been serving with high school and junior high for over 30 years, and then suddenly a shift, and a pretty major shift from high school to children, but specifically, children's material. I haven't spent that much time working with kids, although I did teach school. I taught fourth grade for 2 years and sixth grade. But what's on my heart now is the material. And last night I tried to encourage you that no matter how it seems, the saints sitting in this room here now, the moms and the dads, driving the minivans, pushing the strollers, I really feel you all are on the front lines of the fight these days. You remember hearing about a call to Russia or to Eastern Europe or to... And within me at that time, I felt, oh, I've got to answer that call to make sure that I'm in on what the Lord is currently doing. Well, what the Lord is currently doing right now is this. And I want you all to be so, so convinced from the Word that it's really the case. Let me ask you a question. Who does the enemy hate more? Does he hate the adults or the children? You're right. Let me ask you this. Who is he afraid of more, the adults or the children? And how do we know that? Huh? I'm sorry? Because they're attacking, right? Yeah. Have you noticed that in the book of Exodus, the adults... they were merely enslaved. They were merely occupied. Satan's strategy with the adults was to occupy them, occupy their time, right? Take away the hay so that they had to even work harder. But what was his plan with the kids? It wasn't to occupy the kids. It was to kill them. Now, who are you afraid of more? Somebody who you just want to occupy, or somebody who you want to take out of the picture altogether? And even when the Lord was born, in really a ridiculous way, so many children were put to death because Emmanuel had come. But again, he came as a child, and so children were the target. Several times, children are the target. I think you'd have to be not only under a rock, but asleep under a rock, if you don't see that today children are the target, perniciously. In our schools, things that are being told to kids on the first day of school. Who knows that book that we have called Upside Down? Okay, that's my favorite book. That is my favorite book. We heard a story. A mom contacted us and said, I took my child to the first day of school. First day of school. Kindergarten. Very first day. And when I picked her up, she came and got in the back seat in her car seat. And on the way home, she said, so mommy, today I heard that you can have two moms or two dads and that it's okay. It's okay if you can have two moms and two dads. My teacher said that was fine. Now the mom is just freaked out in the front seat. How do I handle this? This is a major conversation. Too major to have in a car on the way home. And the child was very observant and noticed that mom got quiet. And then after some time, the child said, mom, is that one of those upside down things? And the mom goes, yes, sweetheart. Yes, my dear. That is an upside down thing. And then listen to this. And then the child goes, okay, mom, I got it. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Hallelujah. We need to get healthy material, age-appropriate material. And when I say age-appropriate material, I mean age-appropriate for their age and for this age. There's certain things now that may not have been appropriate 2 years ago, 5 years ago. It may not have been, but this age we're living in now, you can't delay. You got to get in first. You got to get in early and often. Just think, if that mom didn't read that book with her, then she'd have to go through and explain it. Then she'd have to pull out the weeds of that thing from her. But it never took root because, okay, mom, I got it. That's upside down. And I just love that word, huh? Upside down. Isn't that great? It's not, oh, that's not sanctified. Or, you know, it's so appropriate to their age level. And that's Isaiah. That's the Bible. You've turned things upside down. So the attack really is on our kids in every way, even physically. Sorry to say, I just heard of a horrible case. Well, there are kids here, but even physically, this age is attacking our kids. The things that they hear in school, confusing, so hard. Saints, the enemy is going after the children. So that's why I said last night, you moms and dads are really on the front line. Now, if the enemy is so keen on attacking these kids, that must mean that there's something strategic with them. You see, Pharaoh was afraid that the children would multiply and would become more than them, and that those cute little kids one day would grow up and overthrow his whole kingdom. So to us, they're cute little kids. To the enemy, they're, what's that word? Huh? They're a threat. That's right. They want to overturn the government. Rebels. So they're in your hands. Okay. So I'd like to start like this. It was touched last night, but I'd like to expand on it quite a bit more. What we're about to see, may take some convincing. It may take a little bit of me having to preach the gospel, because it's not what we normally hear. We don't usually hear the importance of the children. Oh, I tell you, the college age and the high school, crucially important. Have to have it, have to have more. But we don't often hear about the strategic importance of the children in this fight. So, Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay, who knows the very last book or the very last verse of the very last book in the Bible? Sorry, in the Old Testament, right. The very last verse in the Old Testament, it's in the book of Malachi. Let me see if I can get this thing here to work. Malachi 4, 6. Listen to this. This is the last verse of the Old Testament. This is the Old Testament. Consider everything in the Old Testament, all the stories, all the history, all the types, all the prophecies. Yeah. Everything. This is the last verse of that entire book. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with the curse. That's how it ends. What's he going to do? He's going to turn some hearts. When he comes, he's going to turn hearts. Some hearts need to be turned. Firstly, the Father's hearts have to be turned. But it can't just be that one turn. There has to be a mutual turning. Then the children's hearts need to turn to the Father's. And if this doesn't happen, he's going to come and strike the land with a curse. But I don't think it's too much to say that if this does happen, then the opposite of a curse would be a blessing. So if those hearts do get turned, then not a curse will come, but a blessing will come. You see, you have to have the two turns, the hearts of the fathers first, and then the hearts of the children. If you have the hearts of the fathers turning, but that doesn't result in the hearts of the children's turning, then you have to question the heart, what kind of turn did the father have? Sometimes our heart can turn to our kids because we want them to accomplish something. We want them to achieve something. We have a goal. We have a requirement. Clean your room. Do your homework. Be the top student in your school. Go to a certain college. Our heart turns all the time to our kids for these things. But what they receive is just requirements and ugh. And it doesn't result in their turning of their hearts. But if our heart can turn to them in a pure way, if our heart can turn to them for them, not for us, not for us to have a boast in what they do, but for them, because we care for them. Our heart is really for them. This kind of a turned heart, a father to a son, makes it so easy then for that son to turn his heart back to his father. Now, this may seem like, well, that's nice. That's nice. But there's something more that happens. It's not just that you have a wonderful relationship between you and your kids. Something more here happens. And this is the secret sauce. This is what you got to see. Your lights on your phone. No problem. This is this is God's wisdom hidden in places where you'd never think it would be. Okay? So this is the last verse in the Old Testament. Turning the hearts. Turning the hearts. Now, you go from there to Luke. Luke 1, 17. And in Luke 1, he pretty much quotes Malachi 4, 6. But then he adds something, and then he adds something at the end, which is super meaningful. He says this. I'm in Luke chapter 17. Luke 1. Okay. And it is he who will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Here it comes. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the prudent of the righteous. Then he says this. To prepare for the Lord a people made ready. To prepare for the Lord a people made ready. So when you read that, this here is what ignited the fire of needing to produce children's material, both in myself and in a couple of others. When we saw this, we realized this is on another level. Saints, I want to use, I'm not speaking in hyperbole here. Really, this is on another level. And hopefully this will uplift our view of the importance of your children in your house, in your home, with you as mom and dad, to a dispensational level. I can see some of you take more convincing. To turn their hearts, turn the hearts to prepare a people made ready. So how is it that the parents' hearts being turned to their children and the children's hearts being turned to their parents, how does this prepare people? Okay, what you have to do is you have to go back again to the Old Testament. You've got to look at the example of Enoch. Look at the example of Enoch. Who in the Old Testament was a person who lived such a life that he was made ready and raptured? It was Enoch. Enoch was the first one who was raptured, right? And even as the principle of first mention, that sets the precedence. We should really study. If you want to be raptured, you got to know what happened to Enoch. Because that's the way to get prepared. I remember one time, I don't have enough time for stories. So Enoch was there. And what does it say about him? It said he walked with God. He walked with God. Saints, how is our walking with God? We may have become very good at skipping with God, hopping with God, hopping from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. Or maybe we don't hop from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. We just have to skip because we have a prayer meeting and a home meeting, you know, in between. So we skip from a Lord's Day to a prayer meeting to a home meeting to a Lord's Day. But everything in between is kind of our time. We somewhat unplug. Enoch found a way to walk with God. That's very specific. Step by step, walking with God. Do you know when he began to walk with God? Brother Lee is very clear, and we'll see something here in a minute. Brother Lee said Enoch did not begin to walk with God until after he had Methuselah, until after he had his child. Okay, don't raise your hands. But who, like me, felt their life entered into a new stage when they had their first child? I mean, oh, I remember, forget about walking with God, even driving with God. I remember coming home from the hospital with our firstborn in the back seat, and I felt like this was my first time driving a car. I was so careful, changing lanes, you know, I click, 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 click for like half an hour before I, you know, made sure. Ah. It's really true. Enoch realized something. He realized, I can't be the same anymore. I can't live the way I used to live. I used to be able to fake it. I used to be able to hop from one meeting to the next and nobody knew my secret. I got married and then one person knew my secret. But I had her sign a non-disclosure agreement that she would not tell anybody who I really am because I signed one for her. So we both have an agreement. But our kids, they're watching us all the time now. Oh. Listen to this quote from the ministry. It's so good. It says, no matter how much zeal you show in your children's presence, they can always see through you if you are not genuinely zealous. Amen? Amen. They have X-ray eyes. It says, your children are very clear, but you may not be that clear. You may be a very loose person, yet act carefully in their presence. In reality, you are not the person you pretend to be. Maybe we should just stop here and I'll go home. We're done. Disappointed. And let me get my other glasses out. Please remember that your children can see through you easily. If you are a careless person and you try to act in a discreet way before your children, they will easily detect your carelessness and pretension. You must not only sanctify yourself before them for their sake, but you must also be genuinely holy in yourself, walking with God as Enoch did. I would draw your attention to the example of Enoch. Genesis 5, 21 through 22 says, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Then it says, before Enoch was 65 years old, we do not know his condition. Here it says, after he begot Methuselah, we know that he walked with God 300 years. Then he was taken up by God. So you see this? This is why our topic is, our families and our children are a part of God's wise arrangement for us to gain Him. First, for us to gain Him. Our kids are those unfoolable X-ray vision discerners of who you really are. And even what's more scary is they're becoming that. They're becoming what you are. So, here you go. You get home from work, dads, right? And you open the door, and the house is World War III. The kids are going crazy. Everything is all over the place. And you look around for your fellow soldier, and you see her in the corner, balled up, and she looks at you like, I'm tagging out. This is yours. I am not going. You got to fix this. Okay, dads, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You better pray. You better. See, there can't just be a mutual turning. There has to be a threefold turning. There can't just be a turning of the hearts from the parents to the kids to the parents. The parents have to turn their heart to the Lord first. Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, we have to turn our, we got to become expert turners. We can't always be perfect, but we can always turn. So what you do is you take Nehemiah's example. What did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah was there, and there was such a need in Jerusalem. It was torn down, and it was horrible, and he was sad because of such a great need. And he was in the presence of the king, and the king asked him, what's wrong with you? And he thought, how can I hide this? He was visibly upset, kind of like when you walk through that door and you see that your house is a mess, you're visibly upset. And so the king said, what do you want to ask? And this is what it says. It says, Nehemiah prayed to Jehovah and answered the king. Now, what do you think he did? Do you think he said, King, wait a second, I need to go into my room and pray for a bit, and I'll be right back. No, that's probably not how it happened. It probably happened like he was asked the question, what do you want? And he prayed to Jehovah instantly, right there in front of the king. Right at that moment, right in that situation and circumstance, there was an instant prayer, and then he had an answer. And he was bold, and he said, I'm going to go back and build up the city. I want to go back. And the king said, go. Good. Very good. So you walk through that door, and your house is a mess, and you become a Nehemiah. Pray to the Lord. Turn your heart to the Lord. And sometimes the Lord will really give you a way. Instead of casting everybody to the four corners of the house, go to your room, you're all grounded for a week, even you, sweetheart, how did you let it get like this? You don't behave like that. You walk in calmly, and you handle the situation in life and in love. One time, how's my time? I think I'm just about done, right? Okay. Hi, buddy. Okay, no time for stories. Sorry. This is so key for us to get. This is so key for us to get because our children, especially when they're young like this, and like this one was. Especially when they're young, they are becoming who they will be. They're becoming who they are. You look at the example of Moses. Moses had to go through 35 years of Egyptian education. I say 35 because he was not handed over until he was weaned. And probably he was 4 or 5 at that time. And then we know what happened when he was 40. So at least 35 years of Egyptian education. Well, you'd say, praise the Lord, he got the top education. And that's right. That's right. He got a top, but it was a top Egyptian education. Can you believe what he heard in class? How about talk about schools, teaching your kids things? He must have heard all about the Egyptian kings and how great they were, Ramses and all of these ones. And no doubt, every day they would point out and look at those slaves laboring out there and just mock them. That's not who you are, Moses. You're an Egyptian. Forget about them, those low, filthy people. They're so this, they're so that. Just being mocked all the time. Christians are mocked all the time in school. Forget about that. Listen, oh, we're wise, we're educated, we're smart. Listen to what we have to say about math and about history and about culture. Trying to get their Egyptian culture into him. I'm sure this happened. 35 years. But Hebrews 11 says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose to be ill-treated with the people of God. Something got into that little kid. No doubt in the hands of the mom. Moms, hallelujah. Something got into that son through his mom. Jochebed, right? That taught him to choose and refuse. How many talks did they have on her knee? My dear Moses, in a couple of years, you're going to learn all kinds of things about Egypt and all kinds of things about the Egyptian people and Egyptian history. But let me tell you, sweetheart, who you really are, who you really are. Moses, hold him a little closer. You're a Hebrew. You're a Hebrew. You're not Egyptian. Your forefathers are not pharaohs. They're not the best. They're not the greatest. Your forefathers are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now let me tell you some stories about Abraham. Abraham was called by God, Moses. God called Abraham. And he sent him out to go on a journey and didn't tell him where he was supposed to go. Just called him out, and Abraham followed. Moses, we're followers of Jehovah. Even though it may be hard to know sometimes where we go, that's what we do. Our family is a God-following family. That's who you are. Oh, time doesn't permit me to tell you about Jacob. One day, half of the Old Testament will be all about this case called Jacob. But eventually, Jacob is turned into a prince. And he blesses the whole world. This is your family. He must have heard this, don't you think? Don't you? And it must not have been a one-time thing. It must have been a daily family time. Family time. You know who else must have had family times? Noah and his family must have had family times. Dad, you're nuts building this boat out here, and it's never even rained before. Every day the kids must have come home. They called me a new name today. I didn't even know what it means. Dad, this is getting bad. Well, I don't know. What did Noah do? He must have been Nehemiah, like, all the time. Stopping and praying and speaking. What do you do? Sometimes he might have said, okay, you can take tomorrow off. You know? But only one day. Because we're a boat-building family. You got to understand, son, God spoke to your dad. You know, Noah must not have been crazy, actually. Noah must have been absolutely sober and intelligent. Otherwise, how would his kids would have taken him seriously if he was just loose? You know, Lot was loose. He was loose. And so when he went and spoke to his sons-in-law and said, it's going to be burned, the whole place, you have to come, they thought he was kidding. They thought he was kidding. So you see a little window into what kind of person he was. But Noah, they didn't think he was kidding. They said, wow, Dad, God spoke to you, huh? That's right. And we've got a job to do. And nobody else helped. So how many family talks did they have to have? Family, family, family. You know, the BibleTellsMeSo.com, it is the target of it is the family. So if you look at the books, it's all pointing towards the family. Children's meeting will be fine. What we're after is the family. The family talks. The family times. Why? Because when these kids are small, to use a computer analogy, we are producing their hardware. Their hardware. You know, for a computer to work, you have to have hardware and software. Software is information. You know, I served with high school for many years, and I've spoken many conferences, and it was all software. We wanted to put information in them. And the best we could, we wanted to extract maybe the old information and put new data in there. We were always typing into our kids, living letters, right? Living letters. But this is why we have to see our work is one piece. It's one piece, and it starts with these little guys. Because unless they have the right hardware, you can't put much software in them when they get older. Are you following me?
Yes.
You've got to get the right hardware. Apple now has the fastest chip, right? M2 Max or something like that. It's incredible. It's super fast. You can put any kind of software in there and it'll operate at lightning speed. We got to let our kids know, you're not Egyptian. I wish I could have a talk with her. Hi, sweetheart. As soon as they, even before they're talking, sing to them, you are awesomely and wonderfully. Just, you are a girl. You're a girl, my sweetheart, a girl. You'll always be a girl. God made you a girl. And you're a beautiful little girl. What a wonderful little girl you are. You're a girl. What are you? I'm a girl. That's right. You're a girl. And God made you that way. You know, God made you, and God made Daddy. Really? Yes, God must be big. God is really big. Just have these little talks with them. Hardware. So that they're silicon, because you don't have much time. You don't have much time because silicon doesn't stay wet forever. Once that sets, that's pretty much it. It's really hard for the Lord to take big steps after a certain age. And I don't know what that age is, but Moses knew who he was by the time he was 5. So it's not too young to put in an antidote, to put in some positive things as early as you can. What did Moses do? Moses delivered all the people out of Egypt. You know who else got this? Samuel. Samuel got this. Consecrated since he was born, and then handed over. Samuel as a baby, his bedroom was the Holy of Holies. He slept in front of the ark. I don't know how that happened, but he slept in front of the ark. And then God spoke to him as a child, and he didn't know what it was. He had to go and ask three times. And then eventually, that's God. And this is what you say. When God speaks, this is what you say. Your servant, here I am. Your servant is listening. What a good thing to learn as a child. When God speaks to you, here I am. Your servant is listening. From a child, Samuel got this. Oh, I don't have time. Samuel changed the age. What got into him as a child became who he was as an adult. Directed it. Teach your child in the way he should go. And when he is older, he will not depart from it. Everybody asked us, will you guys, that the Bible tells me so, will you make some swag? You know what swag is? Like hats and shirts and things. And I said, if we do, it'll be a bib for the very small ones. And it'll say, I'm watching you. All the time. Or, this is your window of opportunity. Wouldn't that be good to have bibs like that? So every time you go to give him a, turn. Turn your heart. Okay, anyway, for the sake of time, I have to stop here. Hopefully we can continue this because there is more. There's a lot more. But listen, you've got the opportunity. And we're so happy now that there's at least a little bit of material to help you. And we're putting out more all the time. We have 10 more books that are all done that just need to be looked over by the co-workers before we can launch them. But in those books, it's books about character, and there's also little helps to the parents. In one of the stories, one of the kids causes a little bit of trouble. And before the mom answers, it says, she paused and looked out the window for a moment and then responded. It's good sometimes to pause and look out the window for a moment before you respond. So anyway, we've got the opportunity, saints, now more than ever before, to have these Hannahs. Oh, I wish I could talk about Paul. These moms and dads to raise up children with this view, with this view, like never before, with the best hardware. And don't say the schools are too hard and too tough. We'll talk more about this. This will help solidify them even more. To raise them up with the best hardware so that when they get a little bit older, they can receive the best software. And then they can become seeds of the gospel, overturning their high schools. Brother Lee talks about high schools being overturned. And then what would they be when they get into college? Oh, there's going to be a revival. Do you see the one piece? It's so interrelated. And then they go to the full-time training, and they serve full-time, and the Lord returns. And where did it start? It started because some fathers turned their hearts. Some moms turned their hearts to their children, to the weakest ones. Do you remember who the dance of two camps are? It's the women and children. That's who defeated. That's who gets the victory. Oh, women and children, rise up and see what you have as an opportunity right now. You do this, it will prepare your kids. And it will prepare you. It'll prepare us all as a people made ready. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. Okay, I'll stop here.